Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz blow out the Sacramento Kings. Mike Conley looks a lot better. Bojan Bogdanovic shows his value, and the Jazz keep the Kings out of the things they do well. We'll talk about all those things coming up on Postcast. Postcast is brought to you by The Store, the brand new store right across the street from the Children's Center down here and down from the Vivint Smart Home right at the Gateway, as well as 600 South 20th East and the mini store at 900 South and 100 West. All right, David Locke along with Ron Boone, thank you very much for taking the time to join us on all of our formats, and we welcome your comments and questions tonight. We come to you live on Periscope at Locked On Sports. We also come to you live on Locked On Live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. So make sure you subscribe and follow us. Ron, a lot of things to talk about. We'll hit some individuals, but big picture, what impressed you the most?
The fact that the Jazz came out ready to play. Secondly, you know, from getting late in the 3 o'clock in the morning, that kind of thing, and it was a miserable night last night. So you had to be impressed with them coming out and being ready to go right at the tip.
One thing I want to talk about, Ron, is that one of the things I find hardest about broadcasting is talking about things that don't happen. And it's only afterwards I realize, oh, shoot, we didn't talk about it. And I feel a little bit that way. There were two things that we focused on in regards to the Jazz tonight. One was trying to keep the Kings out of transition. We stayed on that. They did a wonderful job. We'll dig in. The other is I suddenly look at the four plays Johnny Bryant ran in my little book here that the Johnny Bryant ran the Jazz through. They defended – or the before the game against the Kings. There was a double stagger pick and roll. They run it into the post, and then the Kings loop guys around. We saw none of that. They either denied the wing. The ball never got to the post. They hardly did that at all tonight. They worked on a pin down on the baseline. We didn't see that at all. I mean, they eliminated the Kings' half-court offense, which has been awful all season long, but they made it really awful tonight.
And when the Jazz go back and look at the film, Johnny Bryant will go back and look at it along with Quinn Snyder. That's what they'll be impressed with, the fact that their game plan worked. The defensive game plan worked. Took them out of their half-court offense, which was not very good in the first place, and made them look like a very poor executing team.
All right, let's talk about that. The offense led to great defense, but the key, you talked to Johnny Bryant before the game, what concerns you, the answer was transition. The Jazz, according to our notes, had 88 half-court possessions for the Kings and only 12 transition. It makes sense. We're about 100 possessions, so our numbers are close. The Kings last year took 52 shots a game in the first half of the shot clock. I'll have to look. I mean, this will be fascinating to look at these numbers. We'll do it on the plane tomorrow. Hey, fire up. Be excited for that, Ron.
Yeah.
And we'll watch the Clippers and the Suns.
Yeah.
But more importantly, you know, they just didn't let the Kings do what the Kings do well, and then, frankly, the Kings lost their will to play.
Well, memo to the Sacramento Kings, this is not preseason, because they just ran the Jazz off the floor in transition during preseason, made the Jazz look awfully bad. They were making everything they threw up. Now the game plan was a little bit different, took them strictly out of what they wanted to do, and yes, the game plan was to, and the biggest concern anyway, was rebounding and transition. So the Kings were taking it out of the net tonight, because the Jazz definitely was making shots. The Jazz ended up shooting 57%, 48% from the three-point line. So the Kings were taking it out of the net and having forced to play a half-court game, and they did not do a very good job.
One of the major questions about this team was, could they be great defensively with Rudy Gobert, without Derek Favors, with Ed Davis instead of Derek Favors? And the data said that over the last 2 years, if you stretch the data out, the defense was actually better when Rudy Gobert was on the floor with four smaller players or four mobile players instead of Favors. They were great last year, but if you looked at it for the longer period of time, 2 years, the defense was as good, if not better. Through three games this year, the Jazz have held all three opponents to below a point of possession. That is the elite standard. If you have 120 offensive rating, that is Steph Curry and Trae Young going bananas. If you have 100 or below defense, that is you win. You win at an alarmingly high rate. Is it? I don't know when. I mean, defense is usually ahead of offense, and there's all that. I don't know how much of a sample size we need, Ron, but is there a chance this team is showing that they can be as good defensively as the team has been the last few years?
Well, let's go back a little bit. That was what we were concerned with. Could they be the fact that, okay, we improved our offense, could we be as good of a defensive team? The other part of that was, are we going to be big enough when we have to go small? If we start Joe Ingles and Bojan, are we going to be big enough to defend and still be a good offensive team? I think that's still, that jury's still out on that. But the fact that the Jazz have proven that with Rudy and the way they defend, they could be just a very good defensive team.
We have not played great offensive teams. We played the Lakers. We held them down. They will be one of the best offensive teams. Oklahoma City is probably not going to be, and this team is, honestly, that to me, and probably too much so for Jazz fans. My storyline tonight, they were awful, and they were awful when we watched them on film. They did not come out of training camp ready to play. Now, from a Jazz standpoint, there were some interesting things going into this game. One of them was Mike Conley and his struggles, and we did the research. In Memphis last year, Mike Conley had 83 touches a game. In the first two games, he had only 50 for the Jazz. He had 38 front court touches a game for the Grizzlies. He only had 21 for the Jazz. He basically, the simplest way to think of it is kind of with some extrapolation, he in Memphis had the ball in his hands 40% of the time. He only had the ball in his hands 32% of the time. At shoot-around today, Quinn Snyder basically said to Mike Conley, go get the ball.
Go get the ball, and we'll rely on you to make things work out there on the floor. You're a point guard. Let's push the ball up the floor, and you make some things happen, which is the way he's been accustomed to playing.
And how did it impact Mike Conley?
I think it gets him more in flow and in tune with what's going on out there on the floor. Instead of, you know, he's not used to being the off guard. I mean, he's the point guard. And he's used to handling the basketball and making things happen out there on the floor and picking and choosing when or the correct time for him to be offensive-minded or shoot the basketball. This is going to work, and as long as they continue to put the ball in his hands, I think. It'll make him a better player.
We are on Postcast. David Locke along with Ron Boone live on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, all at Locked On Live on Periscope. On Locked On Sports, thanks very much for tuning in. You're welcome to ask the questions. How many games can the Jazz go while keeping opponents under 100? Well, we play the Phoenix Suns and then we play the LA Clippers, so maybe one more? Though the Clippers and the Suns were in a battle tonight. Ricky Rubio did not play tonight for the Suns. How much does, if Mike handles the ball that much, how much does that impact Donovan?
You know, we'll have to wait and see what that does with Donovan, because Donovan will have to make the adjustment there as well. And we'll be able to tell with a better defensive-minded team,
Jazz win.
Hey, who's that guy?
Jazz win. Hey.
It's Craig Bolajack.
I'll tell you what. Can we just, like, you know, can I, like, slip in here at halftime sometimes and just say how do you do?
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't do a live show at halftime. We only do a post-game live show.
Shoot, yeah. Booner.
But you're always welcome now.
Come on. Okay, it's good.
What do you like tonight?
Well, I just thought, again, early offense, early buckets made, bogeys dance. I found out he's a tough guy. And I also know he can slice and dice and hit from outside. And Moutier still has a little bit of, well, he's got some turnover issues, but still seems to – attack the basket. And I think Mike Conley's still a work in progress, but a little by little, right? Baby steps.
I think Bojan Bogdanović might have told people, okay, that one was enough.
Yeah, maybe,
like,
so.
I'm not interested in sitting for a second game. I think that's what we might have learned about
what
him.
What did he play, 81 last year?
81 last year, 80 and 81.
He doesn't want to miss games. So yeah. Welcome back, Bogey, and I made a big difference tonight. And you know what? The history of the Purple Mountain jersey played big today. And you know what? Another team that wears purple, Kansas State, I think won a ball game today.
Did they beat Oklahoma today? Oh my goodness!
It's been a purple day.
Oh,
it's a good
goodness.
Old day.
I'm a happy man.
All right.
See you guys.
All right. The other thing we talked about from a Jazz standpoint, Mike Conley, transition defense. Those were probably the two primary things on this one. Let me make sure we don't have any more questions. Bowler's happy about that. How this brand new Jazz team will play along with, let's see, I'm not sure I follow that question. Thank you from ManFran1601 on Periscope, but I don't quite understand your question. You know, I don't know if we know everything about this team yet. I think tonight we saw the concepts against a not very good team and against a really good team that was desperate for a win on their home open after being embarrassed by their inner city rival. We saw where they can get blown up a little bit.
Yeah.
So they'll have to, you know, it's, and I think that's the genius of Quinn, is that this team evolves.
Yeah, well, I think you hit it on the head. There's a lot we don't know about this team. We do know that on paper, it's pretty good. We do on paper that they're a very good defensive team, and we do know on paper that they're supposed to be a very good shooting team. Tonight was the first night we've got a taste of them putting the ball in the basket.
By the way, blowouts matter. Statistically, good teams blow people out. Blowouts matter. So that's a good to blow them out. Happy birthday to Hot Rod. He would have been 85 today. Ron was closer with him than anyone. I admired him maybe more than anyone. No offense to Bowler. So our best to Hot Rod and his Hundley family, and our thoughts are always with our guy. We miss him. So that night, the Jazz throw out the purple uniforms. They blow out the Sacramento Kings. Maybe that's really – and then we put a few candles on Hot Rod's cake for his 85th if he was with us. All right, have a great one. That has been Postcast.